Believers, it's that time again. You know what time it is. You know what night it is. That's right. We're talking the 100th episode. We're keeping it 100 right here on the Lucha Underground After Show, right here on AfterBuzz TV. So stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm a monster. I do monster stuff.
Oh, wow. 29's
on the escalator. This is awesome. Monster truck.
You know, I thought we were going to go with a 100 theme, but I'm liking this a lot more, and I'm liking the light show.
The monster killed it in both episodes that
Absolutely.
We have to go with that.
Guys, you know what night it is. You know what time it is. It's time for another edition of the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. That's right. We're not just talking episode 99. We're talking episode 100. We're doubling it up. Supersized episode tonight. Double the content. Same amount of time because we're all about efficiency here. My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. To my left, the always effervescent, the always effusive, the always talented. He's not in the booth. He's in the studio. You can find him online at Jimbo in the booth because he's James Frank.
Hi. I'm looking for the devil replica looking luchador so I could put up him for Rachel.
Oh, there you go.
Rachel's not here.
There you go.
For at Rachel Sam Evans or Sam Vans.
Conspicuous by her absence. You can find her online at Rachel Sam Evans or Rachel Sam Evans. Depends on how your brain works. At www.youtube.com/gnarled or www.youtube.com/slaytricks. Not in the studio is Rachel Sam Evans.
Yeah.
But this little devil,
this
little satanic luchador,
yeah,
is going to represent her on the panel.
She'll be
tonight. And joining us on the ones and twos.
Oh, welcome back!
Welcome back to Steve.
Hey,
how you doing, Steve?
Doing all right. How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing fantastic.
All right.
Just going to talk some wrestling. No big deal.
You know,
this is what we do on Thursday nights. Thursday nights we talk about wrestling. That's what we do here.
Welcome to the temple.
Welcome to the temple. It is a temple.
My temple.
I got so used to the previously on segments starting with, I have devised a concept. I was fine. Now that the Cueto Cup is finally over, it's weird not hearing that.
That was like in episode 100 when Rey and Matanza started wrestling and he's like, ring the bell. I was like, yeah. I haven't heard a ring the bell in a while.
Classic audio.
We need a ladder match. Classic. That's all we're missing.
Exactly. A ladder match. Fuck you. Classic
so,
lucha
we'll get
audio.
To FUs in a bit.
Yes.
But let's Drago. And the match.
Yes. So let's start with episode 99. Because we weren't here last week, we apologize for the absence, but we are bringing you that coverage this week. Remember, if you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. If you're on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5 stars if you're nasty. But we appreciate that you are joining us this week. So let's get into episode 99. Let's get into Drago versus the Mac for one of the ancient Aztec medallions.
Everyone's...
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Shao Kahn.
Everyone's using this John Woo kick a lot in the temple, I've noticed.
Which one's that? The
just like running double drop kick that shoots you into the corner.
Oh, kind of like the sort of like Finn Balor, like that.
Well, yeah, it's what Loki used to do to set up the double stomp in the corner, because it would literally like shoot you into the corner and knock you down. And then he'd climb to the top rope and hit you with the double stomp.
I can't remember if I've told this story or not before.
Please
but,
tell me.
Once upon a time, I was wrestling in Australia. And my very last match in Australia, it was for a company called EPW, Explosive Pro Wrestling, in Perth on the West Coast. They're absolutely phenomenal. Please check them out, epwperth.com. But their biggest show of the year is called Reawakening, and it's like their WrestleMania. You know, it's their big year. Exactly. Theme, yes, it's great. It's a huge, huge thing. My very last match in Australia before coming back to the States, it was part of a hardcore battle royal invitational put on by a gentleman named Cracker Jack, who was a deathmatch worker from Melbourne, scars all over his body. But the idea of the match, it was that his quote-unquote lethal weapons were not allowed, so we were all forced to use, like, less lethal weapons. That was the story of the match. So we had, like, plastic serving trays, there was a DVD player once, I did a frog splash with a boogie board, and there was a Swiss ball, like a big exercise ball. And there's a guy, he's part of the TMDK stable. He goes by Marcus Pitt. Not Jonah Rock. But this guy goes by Marcus Pitt, but he's affectionately known as Muffins to the boys. And Muffins has legs the size of tree trunks. And so at one point, a guy named Kyle Stereo was holding that ball, and Muffins did that drop kick to the ball, and it was the hardest I've ever seen anyone hit a turnbuckle in my life.
It makes me think of on movie sets when they pull someone back with the ripcord. That's exactly right. What I picture in my head. Just like shot out of a cannon.
Exactly, that's right.
Oh man.
So that's a fun little fact. Yeah. I'm gonna hopefully find some video of that, maybe tweet out the link to
it.
The
more you know.
Exactly, because that video exists online and it is a sight to see.
So the match starts with the Wu kick. Yes. And then Drago hits this awesome DDT. There's a little back and forth, and then Willie Mack does something that if people haven't made into a GIF yet, I don't know why, because it's gonna be something you see years from now where it's just Willie flipping the bird to Drago and then just nonchalant turns his head Willie Mack style.
The head so turn. Great. It's such a gifable moment, much like Eric Watts's eye roll on Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those animations that has lasted.
Oh, is that when she was like, oh, my favorite match?
Alicia Fox? I think so. I'm pretty sure that's when he did it.
Alicia Fox and Melina?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly when it
Melina
happened.
And Alicia Fox? Oh, yeah. And Watts is like, please. Good God.
So good. So we get that. We get that bird flipping.
We get that. We get something I'd never seen Willie Mack ever do, which is like the Ultimo Dragon headstand in the corner.
Oh, man.
Into like a split-legged twerk, right. Which Drago does not know what to do in that situation.
Who would,
I even
really?
Think Cobra Moon is like, I can't coach
got
you
nothing.
For that.
Got nothing.
Big boot into a nice Aikido plex. Just all classic Willie stuff.
Definitely. And one of the things that they touched on commentary was the kind of hybrid style of Drago. But that's sort of, I feel like hybrid could also apply to Willie as well. With having such, exactly, having such a strong background in Lucha.
Oh, yeah.
But also just being as ridiculously strong and powerful as he is.
Freaky Willie strength.
Exactly.
I love how Cobra Moon gets on the ring apron. She tells the ref, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
I'm not doing anything.
I'm not touching you.
Calls out Willie. Willie comes over, pie faces her, and turns around. And I was like, we're getting missed.
Right.
Drago's about to mist him and pin him. And he didn't. And I was super bummed.
Has Drago done mist before?
I can't remember. So. Missed opportunity for mist.
Missed opportunity, son of a bitch. That's incredible. I'm imagining an orange mist to represent fire.
Oh, especially with that outfit he had on. Right? It would have totally matched his outfit.
Right, exactly. But,
or even if he would have stuck his tongue out to kind of like distract him and then caught him in the tail.
That big long jelly tongue.
There would have been something dragon related right there.
Mm-hmm.
That was my only critique of, oh, I wanted that.
Right.
And then he gets the pin, that awesome dragon tail. I think that's what he calls it.
I think so.
Tail pin.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It'd be like, that'd be hard as hell to get out of.
Exactly. To earn the, what is it? At this point, by the time this match happened, that was the fourth, I believe, fifth Aztec medallion.
Because all three of the Rabbit Tribe had him.
And then also Son of Havoc.
Yeah. So number five.
We will get to the distribution of the medallions over the course of these two episodes. Speaking of which, we've got a 5-0 street fight for another one of the medallions between Cortez Castro and Joey Ryan. This match was so much fun.
There were so many cool things in this match.
This match, the more I thought about it, and you can't really compare the two. There aren't really many comparisons that could be made, but I was in the same headspace, and I got the same enjoyment as I did when I was watching WLC. Remember WLC?
Oh, okay.
Where it's like, it shouldn't be this much fun. Like, it's a silly concept on paper, but the execution goes so above and beyond that you have such a good time watching it.
And they're doing violent things, so you shouldn't be like, oh, this is funny and entertaining.
Exactly, but nobody ever thinks about, you know, hot coffee down the front of the trunks.
Or when he goes to put a glove on, and Vampiro doesn't want to say what it is, or Stryker doesn't want to say what it is, and he's like, Vamp, you want to take this? And then the crowd's just like, cavity search. And he's like, well, the believers are chanting it, so they obviously know what's coming.
And I thought that was going to lead into a ballsplex.
Dude, well, the counter for it was amazing. How he's just like, oh, and then he rolls out. out and throws him into the shield in the corner and broke the shield.
And that reversal, that kind of counter that he did, that's reminiscent of, I think it was Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect from way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Where he got, it was either a waistlock or a hammerlock around the circle and then sends him right out of the ring.
Isn't that what busted him open?
Yes. That, yes, yeah. The Riot Shield. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm talking about in the Bret Hart.
Oh, in Bret Hart. I was thinking of Hart and Hennig.
Oh.
And it was just a move to send him out through the middle to the outside.
Makes sense. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But awesome stuff. We got coffee. We got riot shields. We got a taser to the junk. Oh, man. You know? Cause that
sledgehammer.
That was the one thing missing from the temple.
Yeah. Yeah. The dashboard cam shot was great.
Oh, that was awesome.
I love how Stryker said that, like, because someone at home was like, well, why would there be a camera in the car unless they knew that was going to happen? And it's like, oh, I hope that dashboard cam's okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
Perfect. Perfect stuff.
Was Fluffy in the crowd? Like, comedian Fluffy?
Oh, Gabriel Iglesias?
I think he was sitting right next to the cop car.
I wouldn't.
Because at one point, I could have sworn that was him, like, directly next to the cop car.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, I would think that they would point him out, you know? We've had David Arquette in the temple.
Former
WCW champion.
I loved all the references to the Big Boss Man whenever they picked up a nightstick.
Oh, absolutely.
Classic stuff. And then when Cortez got fired up and he throws the nightstick in his mouth and he just bites it.
That was an awesome shot.
If there's not 8x10s of that, and that's not in, like, hey, watch Lucha highlight reel.
Right.
Dropping the ball.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Him especially. Like, next show you're at, you better have 8x10s of that to sign. Because that just looked so badass. And they even said on commentary that this is probably one of the biggest matches he's had in Lucha, for
and
sure.
it's crazy because he's been so good for so long and people never realized. Yeah. He started as a tag team with Rocky Romero.
The Havana Pitbulls, right?
They were Los Cubanitos first.
Oh, wow.
Then they became the Havana Pitbulls.
Probably a lot easier name to say.
Right. And then Rocky did his own thing. He became Black Tiger IV. Reyes, I believe, wrestled in Puerto Rico for some time. But absolutely extraordinarily talented, so I'm glad people are getting a chance to see that now.
We got the coffee on the balls. We got the taser on the balls.
Right.
And then we got the Van Donut Eater. The Van Donut Eater.
Oh, that's
eater.
Right.
He, like, hucks the box of donuts and super kicks them so much, just like a Van Damme chuck the chair at you, kick you in
right,
the face.
Right, exactly. Which we'll see chair chucking later.
Oh, man.
We'll get to some chucking.
And
you know
a
how
fellow
we,
chucker, eh?
You know how we do.
Suplex off the table to the floor. That just looked vicious as all hell. And then I thought it was funny because they're setting up. Joey's got another nightstick, a different one. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I think he has police-grade mace, and he maces him in the face. And I'm thinking it would have been so funny to say, like, oh, Joey's probably immune to pepper spray because he's so sleazy that they had to use, like, police mace on him.
Right, exactly. That's pretty funny.
And then he hits, what would you call that, a running cradle shock?
Running Samoan driver, cradle shock,
on all the shields.
All of the riot shields, yeah, exactly.
That was awesome.
That was impressive, yeah. There was a lot of really awesome, impressive visuals. Even just the cop car being in the temple is such a cool visual.
And all the dudes and police gear blocking. That was another cool thing. They're just chucking dudes into cops and knocking cops over. It was like cop bowling.
It was good stuff. So Cortez or Reyes, I guess he's still being called Cortez Castro, because they don't know that his name is Officer Reyes and in the temple yet. Hits the Samoan driver onto the riot shields, earns one more of the ancient Aztec medallions. What's that?
Now he's moving forward.
Moving.
Now he's got a whole nother, like, debacle to deal with, because now he has to deal with how many people are in that match?
Seven people in the Gift of the Gods match.
Oh, no.
And we've never really seen Cortez in a situation like this. So, so a lot happening. Moving on, going to ringside. We've got Rey Mysterio. We've got Dario Cueto.
We got this set up.
Yes. Because we find out that on the 100th episode, we will see Matanza taking on Rey Mysterio one-on-one to continue that sort of blood feud.
And after Rey beats Matanza, I'm coming for you.
Right, exactly.
I want you.
that infamous promo.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
It's Dario's gotten to the point where he's kind of like Paul Heyman, where it's just a given that it's going to be awesome stuff when he's on the mic.
Yeah, he's so good. Anything, not even just on the mic, any background vignette or any camera time he has, he makes the most of it.
Absolutely, definitely. Of course.
Such a good dude.
Not only that, also on the 100th episode, we'll see, which we'll talk about later on in this very episode, we'll see Dragon Azteca Jr. taking on Pentagon Dark for the final Aztec Medallion. But not only that, an Atomicos match, for those unfamiliar, if you didn't see the episode, Atomicos is the Lucha Libre equivalent of the 8-man tag team match. Playa, holla.
Holla, 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 holla.
But Atomicos, we'll see Johnny Mundo leading the Worldwide Underground in a match against Prince Puma's
crew?
Team, his crew. But before we get to that.
They're all still blank silhouettes at the moment.
Exactly. They're all kind of the same. Yeah, the same
it's
silhouette.
It's all creative.
It's all Hardcore Holly's silhouette.
Is that who that is?
Just I'm pretty default? Sure. I'm pretty sure that's who it was for a while.
That's funny.
Was Hardcore Holly's silhouette.
Yeah.
But before that, we get some added drama. To entice us to watch Ultima Lucha Tres coming soon. Because we already know that there's going to be a Lucha Underground title match between Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma. But it's not quite exciting enough yet. Johnny Mundo posits that Prince Puma should put his mask on the line, to which he readily agrees. But Dario Cueto thinks those stakes are not quite high enough. See, we've already got a mask on the line in the Marty the Moth versus Phoenix match on Ultima Lucha Tres. So, lest people think that he's uninspired, he decides that Prince Puma should put his career on the line instead.
I think he was like, I'm more creative than that.
Right, exactly.
Like, I gotta have more stuff.
Right.
Of course I have matches.
I love that motivation. Like, everything's gonna be different.
It would have been a prime time to break out Dario's Wheel of Destiny or whatever.
Oh, the Dial of Doom.
The Dial of Doom. I'm so creative. See?
See all these? See all these matches?
I made them up. I come up with them myself.
Look at this room. Have you seen this room? Yes, we're in it. So we've got title versus career set for the main event of Ultima Lucha Tres.
And that's a lot of things for Rey to put his career on the line. Puma to put his career on the line with other people in a match. You know what I mean? It's not just him, because someone on his team could get pinned.
Oh, no. He's putting his career on the line in the title match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
That was my bad. No. I was just like, wait a minute.
Right.
Fools.
So we've got that set. So let's move on to episode 100.
Oh, no, wait. Matanza versus the Rabbit Tribe.
Oh, my God. How can I forget? 3-on-1 action.
That was so crazy.
Our favorite competitors in the temple, the Rabbit Tribe, taking on Matanza in a handicap match. I like that they actually got more offense than you might think.
Oh, definitely.
The fact that they got a believable false finish with that shooting star press.
Down the rabbit
that
hole.
That shooting star press is so beautiful. Holy crap.
Everything from the start of like, hey, offer him a hat. We want to be friends. To Dario like, don't fall for their
tricks. Here's a hat.
Don't fall for their tricks. It would have been so funny if they would have pulled like a rabbit or something out of the hat.
That's coming eventually. I feel like that's coming on a long enough timeline.
I loved all the drop kicks. When they were just hitting drop kick after drop kick in the corner.
It's such a smart strategy. Just one after the other after the other.
Yeah.
They get, you know, enough time to rest and get up and just do another drop kick. But I also love that call by Matt Stryker that Matanza learned that drop kick in that moment. And he's mimicking what he saw.
Because he just hucks one of them onto the other two and then just does a drop kick.
Yeah.
It's very, in Monster Squad.
Oh, right.
Like Frankenstein.
Yes.
You know, and
exactly.
Like, they do something and then Frankenstein does it, like the pat on the back, I think it is. He like pats him on the back and then Frankenstein smacks him on the back. And he just like falls forward.
If there's anything Matanza would be at home in, it's Monster Squad.
Don't be such a chicken shit. All right.
So
now to 100.
Now let's get with, obviously, Matanza gets the win, hits the Wrath of the Gods on Saltador for the 1-2-3, for his warm up, as Dario puts it. To get him ready for Rey Mysterio.
Just eat some rabbits before you go.
He seems like the type. He is very Lenny from Mice and Men. He'd kill the rabbit very easily.
To the rabbits, George.
So, episode 100. We start out with Atomico's action.
Oh, we start out with a video with the Worldwide.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Before we go to ringside, we find out that Ricky Mandel has legally changed his name to Ricky Mundo.
Somebody was online tweeted like, oh, he is McLovin.
Oh my god, that's
so funny.
That scene was basically the McLemmon scene, wasn't it?
Totally it totally was. I love Jack with his mouth wired shut, still drawing on the dry erase board to give notes to everybody. And then at the end, they're like, "We're gonna take him to Slam Town," and Jack's like, "Slam Town!" It was so great.
So when we go to ringside, it's basically just a continuation of that segment. We reinforce that Ricky Mandel has changed his name to Ricky Mundo, much to the chagrin of Johnny Mundo, who benches him in retaliation.
Hey, man, you didn't ask.
Yeah, exactly. Basically,
you got to learn a lesson.
You're not allowed to participate in this match. So in his place, we get Marty the Moth Martinez, who has his own beef with Phoenix, who is one of the Atomicos on Prince Puma's team, along with Sexy Star, and they call him Cage.
Did you notice that when Puma's coming down the steps, he like points to a fan and tells him to turn his sign the other way because he must have had his sign upside down?
That's hilarious.
And
no,
then he does it, and Puma gives him like a thumbs up and keeps walking down the steps. It was so
I didn't
funny.
Catch that.
Dude,
that's
that was
awesome.
Great. That was great. And every time Justin Borden holds up the medallions in the bag and he like gingerly holds the bottom.
He cradles
the bottom. Vamp just rips him.
Oh,
off.
Absolutely.
Oh, he
both
must be used to that. Like, yeah. Oh, what are you doing over there?
Both of them going in on poor old Lefty. The main riff. So we've got the Worldwide Underground. We've got Johnny Mundo, Taya, and PJ Black teaming up with Marty the Moth to take on Prince Puma, Phoenix, Sexy Star, and Cage. Atomico's action.
Sexy Star was healing it up.
Right.
She did this like some kind of move. She does a roll right into the corner and just flips them off.
she learned it from Willie.
Yeah.
It's in canon.
Makes sense.
In canon. They're best friends. They have a shared love of flipping people the bird.
Oh, imagine Willie coming out with like her entrance gear.
Oh, God.
Like the cape and the mask and the scepter and all that. Oh, man.
But I love this match. I love 8-man tag team action. You don't really see it that much these days anymore. You might see trios matches, but Atomicos are a little bit rarer.
There's a lot of fun stuff. Taya's knees to Cage, and Taya and Cage, they have plenty of history.
Right.
So that was all really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when Cage is doing a vertical suplex and we see Crane come out and take the gauntlet, and Cage keeps doing the vertical suplex but like points.
Right.
And he's just doing a one-arm vertical suplex without even realizing
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Like, hey, that's my
hey,
gauntlet.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing?
Get your damn hands off her.
damn dirty ape.
It's really, really good stuff. I also loved the moves that we saw when it was kind of 2-on-1 against Puma. Like he manipulates the situation to basically he forces PJ Black to kind of be in a quesadora position, in that wheelbarrow position with Johnny Mundo, super kicks Johnny Mundo's knee out from under him so that it sends PJ Black into the mat face first.
Well, to get to that, we always see Puma do this thing where he like throws one guy into the other and he does the neck breaker, giving a neck breaker, and then the other guy is giving a DDT to his partner.
Right.
So Puma sets that up, and then Mundo throws PJ back to Puma. And Puma's like, okay, I'm just going to DDT him.
Oh, that's right.
DDTs him and then, like, kips up, ducks something else, and goes back into what he would do, his Northern Lights into
right.
a suplex.
Right.
Northern Lights PJ gets something else and then suplex Mundo. So it was so
it's
cool.
It's such good stuff. Yeah, it's subversion of expectations. And he uses that DDT to duck the clothesline.
Yeah, it
to
was
duck
great.
The clothesline from Johnny Mundo.
It's like, okay, you think you have counters for this, but I have counters for your counters.
Right, right,
that's
exactly.
That's what was so good. I loved at one point, Sexy Star does this dive out of the ring, and the camera angle on it.
Oh yeah,
it was really cool. It reminded me of Power Rangers when they would do
the big flipping dive.
Like, oh, we need to go fight Kia.
I know exactly
and
what
do
you
that.
Mean.
I saw Sexy Star do that dive, and that was the first thing that popped in my head.
Right, 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 right. Eventually it just breaks down into chaos.
Oh, of course.
Would
happen?
We get this incredible sequence of double team moves.
Oh, yes.
From PJ Black and Mundo on Prince Puma. I've
never seen them work that
it's the
together.
The first part of it reminded me of kind of Chasing the Dragon.
Yeah.
That Fish O'Reilly double team.
Instead of a super kick to the head, it was more to the chest.
More of a kick kind of to the ribs, to the solar plexus, followed by a brainbuster. And then we get that sort of
cradle
DDT.
DDT.
Also,
another kick.
Exactly, another super kick to the head.
And then a beautiful end of the world.
Yeah, from the outside in, end of the world.
Johnny Mundo. Are you even human?
Just, yeah, really, really impressive end to this match.
And then we get Creepy Marty.
Oh, of course.
Put in his place by Melissa.
But that's the thing. The more you slap someone like Marty, the more you know, like,
he likes it.
You know that's what he's asking
Marty
for.
Marty likes it.
Right, exactly. But then that super kick, it like flew in from off camera from Phoenix.
It was really good.
That was such a great, once again, great, great camera work.
It was like the opposite of the pullback.
Exactly.
It was just like this shootout.
It was just flying in from off screen.
Look at the dog! Yes.
What yes. a pull. Absolutely.
That's Steve on the ones and twos pulling up some Liu Kang.
That's incredible. What timing.
Is that the bicycle kick?
That might have been just the flying straight kick.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So I got to play me some Mortal Kombat when I get home. So after this, we go backstage for one of my absolute favorite vignettes.
Definitely
in
one
the
of the best
entire
vignettes
show
ever.
It's like
up there with Taya's red dress.
Of course. Of course. Sure. The nightclub brawl. But this whole thing. So Jeremiah Crane, he stole the gauntlet from Cage during the Atomicos match, goes to Mill's little throne, his Shao Kahn throne room, presents the gauntlet to Katrina, you know, wants a kiss in return. Yeah. But then here comes Cage.
Well, he's like, I need a kiss. Mm-hmm. And you just eat, again,
once
a
again
spear from out of nowhere. Just the Reaper's
From Mill. It wasn't Cage just yet. It was Mill taking him out.
Takes him out. They're brawling.
Ain't nobody going to get fresh on Katrina while Mill's there.
That's my lady.
Exactly.
You don't mow another guy's lawn.
Exactly.
So then Katrina goes, picks up the gauntlet. Cage now.
So Cage comes out of nowhere, grabs her by the throat, and we find out that that gauntlet is almost sort of canceling out her teleportation powers.
Yeah, which I found was weird. And did you notice, I don't know if it was just me, but when Cage had her by the throat, she seemed like she was turning pale.
Like interesting.
Like her color was going away.
I hadn't noticed that.
And I was thinking like, oh, is it because she's holding the gauntlet and he's saying that? Or is it because the gauntlet is taking over him and he still has like part God,
right.
I guess.
Interesting.
So,
I hadn't
like,
even noticed that.
Transferring. I don't know. I could be way
off. Mean, I noticed her flickering, like that static kind of flickering.
And then she drops it and disappears.
She drops it, teleports the hell out of there.
The three of them going at it, though.
And then
was
that
so badass.
That three-way fight between Cage, Mil Muertes, and Jeremiah Crane was... I liked this a lot. I mean, a match between the three of them would be awesome, but I liked this so much more.
I wonder how they shot this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was shot so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a mix of slow motion and different camera angles and... like pullbacks to show Dario coming in and taking the gauntlet, why they're all still fighting.
Right.
I wonder if it was legit, like, no, you guys are going to do this fight for like 10 minutes. Right. Just keep going.
Just keep going. Keep going until
back,
we say
back
quit.
To one.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, no, forearm again? Okay, fuck it. Forearm.
So
again.
now, like you said, now that Dario has absconded with the gauntlet, where do we think? Because I feel like if Matanza gets a hold of that gauntlet,
we're done.
Like, shit's over.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the war that Godfrey was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
make seven up yours.
Make seven up yours. Because Matanza is already inhabited by gods.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's like God squared at that point.
Too much. What if Dario puts it on?
I was wondering about that. I imagined him, like... what I thought was going to happen in this vignette when he picked up the gauntlet was he was going to transform somehow, like, into, like...
like the mask?
Kind of.
Like Dorian in the mask?
It reminded me... yes! Oh my god, that's exactly right! That's exactly
he
what I was
thinking.
He looks
like
of.
Him with the slick back hair
I
and
hadn't
everything.
I had even thought about that. I was more so... I mean, did we ever see Al Pacino transform in The Devil's Advocate? I can't remember. Or was
not
he always
until
just
the
out...
end.
Okay.
And it was like... quick, like into the angel. You never see him turn into a devil.
Okay,
like, turns into the angel and then the fire.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that ever happened.
But,
it's been a long time.
He should have demoned up like the
that's
other,
what I thought.
Because the demons in that movie were creepy as hell.
Right.
Like that, when the homeless guy is killing the dad.
Yes.
Oh man.
But that's Ooh. what I envision is if Dario puts that gauntlet on his hands, he's straight up growing horns.
Oh yeah. Like the bull horns.
Right.
From the bull that killed his mom.
Oh, there you go. Exactly.
Connecting the dots.
So good.
one of the best vignettes.
Not many wrestling shows where we can legitimately say that like someone may turn into a demon by the end of the season.
It could happen.
It could. Weirder things have happened already. So next up for the final Aztec medallion, we've got Dragon Azteca Jr. taking on Pentagon Dark. What'd you think?
I think, was this the first time we heard the Olay Lucha Lucha chants?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. I thought
that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Azteca takes a kick from Pentagon and does the Mr. Perfect bump. Where he does like the flip bump.
Oh, that's
from the
ropes. That's right.
I thought that was awesome.
That was awesome. Oh, my God, the DDTJ. When he hit that.
The
good
pizza
lord.
DDT. Oh.
The pizza DDT, as it's affectionately known around these parts.
When Penta pops him up. And he lands on the top rope, cat-like still.
Right.
But then turns around and walks. Like, like walk around turn on the top rope, and then Penta takes his legs out, and he falls. I'm like, this dude's amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Like, he really is the next Rey.
Right.
Like, he really is.
And that's
so many people that have that potential, but it's like, oh, shit, no wonder your Rey's... Like
exactly. I'm glad that they positioned him in kind of in that role because it's his style lends itself to that. I think a lot more than like a Phoenix would or a Prince Puma.
Yeah,
would.
I would see them more as like hybrids where he's lucha roots.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Keeps it that way. That and he does a nice gnarly flip off the top to the outside, like a twisting.
Oh yeah.
Some twisting something or other.
You know, one of those.
Arana running off.
Oh, off the apron?
I don't know if it
was. That one?
No, because, he goes to do the wheelbarrow off the apron and Pentagon catches him and face first on the ring apron.
Right, right.
Which was cool.
Or no, that was in Rey versus Matanza, I think.
Yes.
The wheelbarrow off the apron. Yes.
But he does do a Rana off the stage.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah. Eventually, he gets crushed on that top rope, gets hit with a package pile driver.
It was such a great setup for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Flawless.
Flawless it was victory. A flawless victory, exactly.
But is he going to break his arm?
Oh, that's the thing, because you can't just lose to Pentagon.
No.
Like, you're not going to escape with both of your arms intact if he has anything to say about it.
I collect bones, man.
Right. But before he can do that, we get a certain monster, that is, sliding into the ring.
This is weird, because I'm like, oh, shit, these two are going to go at it again? And then... Not so much, especially when he shoulder checks him to get out of the ring.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man, Matanz is really just going to stand there and let that happen? And then Dario's like, no, it's fine.
Right.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Not here
and
for
he's
you.
Like, he's like, hey, take out Azteca. It's like, whoa, that's why you're out here.
And God, those Beals, the Beals that he was giving him.
Bradley Beals.
Tossing him
right. Good old Bradley
Beals. So far into the air. Which leads into our main event. Rey Mysterio Jr. taking on the monster Matanza.
And Rey was not going to wait.
No.
He gets the jump start on this. We get the classic Dario, ring the bell!
Of course.
It was awesome. Before this match started, there was a commercial for this cartoon that's on the El Rey Network called Explosion Jones. Did you see it?
No.
It looks amazing.
Interesting.
It looks like Archer, but... even cooler.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Does it have that sort of same animation style?
It's a
like Frisky Dingo.
It's different.
Okay.
But it's just like super action movie.
I gotta
like,
see that. That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
It looks so much fun.
Did you ever see Moonbeam City?
Yes.
Moonbeam City was Mark Donica got me hooked on that one.
So good.
This main event, absolutely incredible. As you said, we saw that wheelbarrow off the apron,
which
I had never seen before.
No.
And
you always see people get
powerbombed
on aprons, so it was cool to see a reversal kind of thing of that.
Right, exactly. Seeing someone get slammed face first instead.
Matanza did a lot of bouncing Ray's head off shit during this match. Like, it was a basketball, and I don't know
it's very bouncy.
How you get away with that. Like, how do you, okay, man, I'm just going to like throw your head, but I'm going to do it safely so you don't get hurt.
Don't worry about
and
it.
Was
just let
like
me throw your head.
Against the rail, against the floor, against the mat.
And right.
No matter where he was, if it, like instead of, oh, I'm just going to punch you, he was like, oh, I'm just going to bounce your head like a basketball.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'm
you know.
A monster, dude. I do monster stuff.
What else? What else happened in this match? A lot happened.
Well, this being the 100th episode, they had 100th episode mugs on the desk. Awesome. And then they had 100th episode t-shirts that all the fans had.
I didn't notice.
So I was just like, holy shit, that's really cool.
That's
if
awesome.
If you went for the 100th episode, you got a 100th episode t-shirt.
Of course.
If you really did, tweet us a picture because I want to
see
it.
Hit us up.
Yeah.
Let's see that.
Matanza punching Rey and just grunting like a beast animal.
Right.
Leatherface style. That's all I could think
exactly.
of.
Exactly. That's it's easy to forget how much of a monster he is. And I want to credit Brendan Stroud from Up Rocks with like the Splatterhouse comparison, because he always calls him a Splatterhouse looking like.
Oh, I don't. What is that?
Splatterhouse was like an old game that was inspired by like 80s slasher films.
Okay.
And he had a mask that kind of looked like Jason, I think. I could be.
I remember, was it Manhunt?
Oh, Manhunt.
On Rockstar Games?
I definitely remember Manhunt, yeah, for sure.
I remember that.
Where you were like carrying out your own snuff film.
Yeah.
You had the director in your like, in your ear.
What weapon do you want to use? Do you want to use the claw hammer, the crowbar, or the bag and
Manhunt
just suffocate
so good.
This person?
Manhunt was so good. Remember Thrill Kill?
Uh-uh.
You don't remember Thrill Kill? Thrill Kill was like, I'm sorry, guys. We have a little bit extra time. We're going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. But Thrill Kill is sort of tangentially related, so bear with us.
Oh, that was a great word.
Thrill Kill was, it's one of my favorites. Thrill Kill in the midnight, I want to say 97, was being made. It was a four-person 3D fighter. But it was very, very hard R. Like there were a lot of sexual themes, there was a lot of blood, a lot of violence. It was supposed to take place in hell, and like all these tortured souls were the fighters. And so you had like a gimp, like an S&M style gimp. You had this guy on like stilts. You
it
had
sounds
like
a dope movie.
Oh, it was wild. It was wild. But it was yes, Steve knows. I'm getting there. So it was this game, and it was one of the first ones to be pulled from shelves because it was too adult-oriented. But Activision, I think it was Activision, used that same engine to make Wu-Tang enter... Was it Enter the Fist?
Steve?
Yes. Yeah.
Steve, chime in here if you Steve? Know, buddy.
I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember what it was, but it was a Wu-Tang-themed fighting game where you fought as the Wu-Tang Clan.
Really?
But that used the same engine that Thrill Kill did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you could probably go back and make that.
Oh, yeah. Now, oh, my God. Thrill Kill, like, compared to... By 2017...
Real quick, guys, it was Wu-Tang Shaolin Style.
Shaolin style. Okay,
that makes
that's
sense.
What it was. What's that?
On the PlayStation 1.
The OG PlayStation, yeah. Exactly. And so... yeah, it was... By 2017 standards, it would be incredibly tame. Like... There was not anything really, especially even at the turn of the century when like Twisted Metal Black came out. We are really losing the plot here, guys.
No.
But, you know, anyway, going back, Matanza would fit perfectly in to a game like Thrill Kill.
Lucha should have a game.
Oh,
I was just thinking today that picture the, you know, the Street Fighter screen.
Mm-hmm.
But. Instead, it was like every face is the Lucha symbol, but how like they're all altered to be that character. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Cage's has like the eyes, and then like you'd select it, and it'd be like, Cage, I'm a machine, and like that mask turns into Cage, and then like
a Lucha Underground fighting game.
Joey Ryan would be the one with the lollipop, and you know the lollipop comes out, and then it's Joey, you know.
I love it.
I love Dario just coaching from the sidelines, and it made me think. Imagine. Like Dario and Matanza in real life, like young Dario and Matanza go to soccer practice.
Right, exactly.
And he's just like from the sidelines, like, hey, you need to do this. And like little Matanza with the mask, just like
ball
running
on
in
the ball.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh man.
It was so good.
That's awesome.
Just like cartoons of these
kids. Exactly. Or exactly if we didn't get a video game but we got like a camp WWE but for the temple,
man,
like everyone's cartoon kid versions of themselves.
Lucha,
like, kill shots got like water guns and he's just like squirting everyone with.
That'd be so good.
Let's so make it good. I'm writing a spec script as soon as I get home.
Oh, I would love that.
But so yeah, so
second rope sunset flip.
Oh my god, the Avalanche Yoshi Tonic.
Oh yeah.
Holy crap. Because we've seen sunset power bombs before. Like that has become sort of hacky. But this was a straight up like Code Red style leg trap.
From the second rope. And then he does his West Coast pop kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, he was hitting him with as much stuff as he could to get that pin.
Right.
And two kick out. And it made me think, if you were playing a video game, he's blinking.
Oh, you know, exactly.
Matanza's blinking right now. You're about to defeat him. Mm-hmm. And then Matanza nails him with this boot. And I was just like, oh, you need to put in another quarter.
Right, exactly.
You just use your last life.
Jeez, that scared the shit out of me. Oh, boy. A chair gets introduced into the action.
Not good.
Matanza gets pushed headfirst into it, followed by a 619 into the chair.
And that was the first time I'd seen someone prop the chair in the middle of the ropes. Me too. In the corner.
Me too. That seems like it would be so difficult to make it stay.
And hitting the ropes could easily just knock it down and screw up the entire spot.
Right. This was impressive. Yeah, we get the chair assisted 619. Looks like he's about to hit the West Coast pop. And then just...
he just hucks that chair.
Right in midair.
Chucking.
Says no.
Chair chucking Matanza. Smell
like chucker, eh?
Exactly.
Yes.
Suplex, pump handle toss, mm-hmm. more Matanza crazy strength.
Lots of stuff. Throws. You know, Matanza doing what he do.
And then you think Ray is going to hit this moonsault into a DDT. I thought he was going to do it into that kind of
AJ
DDT.
Styles into the reverse DDT. Yeah.
And Matanza says no. Catches him and kind of does a Wrath of the Gods, world's most strongest slam.
Right.
Because he does like a half a turn and then lifts him up and just drops his ass.
Exactly.
Pin, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, no, I'm not finished with you.
Nope.
And he just continues to beat the shit out of him with the chair.
Yeah.
And then Wrath of the Gods with the chair. Oh, poor Ray.
And then he leaves with him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After he, I think Stryker calls it, Pillmans him with the chair.
Oh, he Pillmanizes him.
Twice.
Yeah. He puts that open chair around his head, slams him into the ring post.
That was on my list to ask Steve Austin when we had him on Xbox.
Oh, yeah?
Was like, who came up with putting the foot in the chair?
Yeah, right?
Because that was the first time I'd ever seen that. And
I think me too.
So vicious and right. So bad, but I guess it's really just like, oh no, it just depends.
Same.
Yeah, it just depends on where your foot lays.
But
something that happened, I don't know what episode it happened in, but I really wanted to get your opinion on this, is double crossbodies. They always look,
they kind of
always
throw
look
themselves
cool
at each other
and super vicious. Is that one of the worst things to take or something? They're super painful. Like,
those are super, super painful,
like,
for sure.
No. Like, no.
No.
Let's do a double clothesline.
They're not. I mean, double clotheslines are, much kind of a little bit safer. But double crossbodies are, they aren't, like, agonizing, but it will definitely knock the wind out of you if you're not breathing correctly.
I just think you shit yourself.
I just instantly think you that's one of those moves out. Yeah, it's one of those moves where you have to just like just throw yourself into the other person's body and vice versa.
And it never looks like anyone's slowing down for it.
Right
Like full bore.
No,
you can't half-ass that.
No,
shit.
You can't. It has to be full force. Has to be like jumping Jeff Farmer going full force. If y'all haven't seen that promo, have you seen Jumping Jeff Farmer?
Yep. Wait.
Yep. That's the one. Okay. That's the one. Like, Go look up Jumpin' Jeff Farmer promos, guys. That's your homework.
Yeah, he carries him to the back. What's gonna happen
with
Ray?
Just takes him like a prize. So we've got that. We've got Matanza off in his death cage with Rey Mysterio. We've also got the full lineup for the Gift of the Gods match. So we've got Son of Havoc, Pentagon Jr., Cortez Castro, Drago, Paul London, Saltador, and Mala Suerte. 7 people, 1 Gift of the Gods belt.
I still think Paul's going to take it, dude.
I
think the rabbit trap is going to help him take it. Mm-hmm. Just because what the hell is Paul going to do with that thing?
Right.
What kind of crazy shit?
I would absolutely be on board with that.
He gives it to freaking
Masquerita
Sagrada? Imagine that.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Master Rabbit, we brought this
I gave
you.
This. I earned this for
he
you.
He pops the hat out and pulls out the Gift of the Gods belt. It's like this. Like Bloodsport for you.
Exactly. Oh, so good. So good.
Then,
what a good
did
couple
we get
of episodes.
All of the matches for Ultima Lucha?
No? Gosh.
We have a good amount, though, because, dude, what's up, Katrina and freaking
Ivelisse?
Ivelisse.
It's been a while since we've heard
the
about
thing
that
was announced at the first Lucha show.
I mean, I guess it has to be
it
still
has
happening.
To happen still, right? It was announced at the first Lucha show.
So we've got that, I guess.
That's there.
We've got the Gift of the Gods match.
We got the hair versus the mask.
We got hair versus mask. We've got title versus career. What else? I mean, I guess we can't have a trios title match because Drago's in the Gift of the Gods match.
Then there's only two more episodes or two more weeks? Like, is there next week and then 2 weeks, or is there 2 weeks but gift like 2 weeks till Ultima Lucha, but Ultima Lucha is multiple episodes?
The way my math always worked out, it had the finale on October 18th, but we may have less time than that. I don't know. We'll have to do some research.
Oh man, because I don't think they'll be able to do all these matches in one episode.
Right. But we also
year Ultima Lucha Dos was at least two episodes, wasn't it?
I think it might have been
part
three,
one, part two. Yeah,
because I think this year it might be four.
No shit.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it makes sense, though.
Not only that, but next week we get mixed tag team action.
Yeah,
we've got Marty the Moth teaming up with Mariposa to take on Phoenix and Melissa Santos,
the debuting Melissa Santos,
right?
I wonder what her gear is going to look like, because her dresses are phenomenal,
right?
So I can't imagine how her gear is going to be.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Speaking of gear, have you seen Taya's new wardrobe?
No.
She wears, dude, she has this jacket.
Really?
That is amazing.
I got to see that.
Crown that she wore it to bar wrestling.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Like, I got to check that out.
I wonder if being with Mundo and seeing like the shit he wears
has upped her
jacket
game.
She's like, okay,
game.
I need to set my game up.
Very well could be. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. That was episode 99. That was episode 100. We're going to be with you every Thursday night for the rest of this season, all the way up until Ultima Lucha Tres. But until then, Jimbo, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. Check out XPOC12360. This week we had on Rip Rogers. If you can, please go check out the GoFundMe for Matt Capitelli. He's trying to raise money to help his brain cancer. It's very important, and if you have anything you could spare, please go do that. I believe it's GoFundMe, Matt's Biggest Battle, hashtag Team Cap, C-A-P-P for that. And check out XPOC12360. Yeah.
There you go.
Rachel Samevans, Samevans.
That's right.
Find me on Twitter at SnarledStatrix.
Exactly. Something like that. Steve is not on Twitter, but where else can they find you, Steve?
You guys can find me working at Enterprise.
I knew it was coming.
Steve in the Booth.
I love it. Guys, you can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. That's Instagram, that's Twitter, that's the PlayStation Network. I'm pretty much always playing Overwatch. There's not a whole lot of variety in my life right now. You can find me on the American Ninja Warrior After Show finale this coming Wednesday. It's our very, very last episode. The Season 9 finale, the Vegas Finals, all that stuff. We may have a special guest. Who knows? Come check it out. But that's it. Check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Check your local listings. Jack Swagger versus Eric Watts is coming up on the 23rd. So if you're in Southern California, come check that out. And that's about it. So until next week, Viva la Lucha.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.